Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It is our happy hour, and Biden, well, they're saying blame him, blame Biden, but why are you blaming Biden? You guys shoved him out the door. And New Jersey is now a swing state. Isn't that unbelievable? This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Join them for Thanksgiving and let Hemingway's do the cooking while you enjoy the beautiful amenities of the resort. My happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him this Saturday for his Veterans Breakfast and Community Shredding event, where he's going to be at his office in Cinnamons in New Jersey. VeneriaDental.com. So New Jersey is now a swing state, not a swinger state, although that may be possible as well. The upside-down pineapple being the official state fruit. Here to talk about it with us is a guy who is not only a talk show host on this very station. You can hear him every Sunday night, The Matt Rooney Show. He's also the founder of SaveJersey.com, the must-read site dealing with New Jersey politics. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, my friend. Still waking up, I think, after staying up till 5 a.m.
Wednesday morning.
But who's complaining?
No, I mean, we're happy. We're excited. And they just called the race in Pennsylvania for Dave McCormick, which is huge. So
he's
officially Senator-elect Dave McCormick, which is great news.
Now, we just have to wait and see whether Bob Casey can accept that reality. When you've been a member of the Lucky Sperm Club, Rich, since you were a very little boy, it's hard to accept that now you're going to have to go get a real job, and you're going to have to do what the rest of us do for a living. Actually, work for a living, and your continued occupation is tied to whether or not you actually perform. He finally got fired after a long time of not delivering for the people of Pennsylvania. He held on a lot longer than he should have.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And let's think about the fact that we have now New Jersey. Kamala Harris was up by, what, 5 points? And that's all it was? Five?
Yeah, it's 5 points. She dipped below five for a little while. I'm looking right now. AP has her about 5.1. You know, the most recent presidential result was Biden, 2020, of course, 16, 17 points. This is the best showing for a New Jersey Republican nominee since 1992, when Clinton beat Bush Sr. That was about a two-point race. W didn't even do this well in the first presidential after 9/11. That was about 6 points. So for all those haters out there who were complaining, and I know from the beginning, Rich, you saw that the Donald had this potential. Oh, he's killing us in the suburbs. We'll never win again in a state like New Jersey, the suburban state. He did better than the entire country club Republican class could have ever hoped to do.
Let's talk about Passaic County, New Jersey, which is in North Jersey, and he won that county. It's a traditionally blue county, and he won it, and it's also a big Hispanic county as well. Let's talk about that for a second, shall we?
Yeah, that's right. About, I think, about 40% Hispanic, Passaic County, obviously far more Hispanic than the national average. It's a county that I know you know, Rich, because you used to be a North Jerseyan before we adopted you and brought you down to the better part of the state where it's a hoagie, not a sub. Republicans have never done well there in modern times. There's a Democrat machine that's very successful. They play games up there. didn't matter this year. Donald Trump won because he did exceptionally well with those Hispanic groups that vote in Passaic County. They showed up for him, and a lot of people didn't think it was possible, but it has Democrats sweating. I don't know if you heard Governor Murphy say that, well, it wasn't really a wave. New Jersey's not really a swing state. It was just an aberration. Mm-hmm. I know they hope so, but all the indicia are there that this is going to be the new reality if Republicans seize the moment in New Jersey. They can't win just relying on Karens. They can't do it. There aren't enough of them. If black voters and Hispanic Americans that live in our state are truly waking up, and that appears to be what's happening, it just becomes a math problem for them.
Now, if you look at the Jersey Shore, starting at Monmouth County, New Jersey, and which did great for Trump, Ocean County, New Jersey, which did great for Trump, Atlantic County, New Jersey, which did great for Trump, Cape May County. And then you turn around, you go to Cumberland County, you go to Salem County, you go to Gloucester County, and this is all solid red. I mean, this is all red here. And obviously, there's a northwest part of the state, Sussex, Warren, Morris, which has always been traditionally hunted in, which has always been traditionally Republican. But, I mean, this is all New Jersey has. I mean, if tomorrow South Jersey were to secede from North Jersey, with the exception of Burlington and Camden counties, it would be a red state.
Yeah, maybe we should look into that. I don't know. We actually voted once.
Yes.
Yeah, we voted to secede. I want to say, was it the 70s, Rich? They voted to secede. It was a non-binding referendum. So maybe we should. The free state of South Jersey. We can make Jeff Andrew our first governor. And I'm totally fine with it. I'm totally fine with it.
He would win in a landslide. He really would. But what concerns me, though, is that within a lot of the suburban towns like Moorestown, Mount Laurel, and other towns like that, which you would think would be kind of Republican given the makeup of those towns, and Burlington County, which, you know, back in the day was a solid Republican county, is now gone. It's been gone for a while. I mean, it's pretty blue. It's a damn shame. And I guess you make from that a lot of people move there from places like New York and Philly, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Because we know that Democrats are not really creating new Democrats. White liberals with advanced degrees are not having children.
Right.
So they're just migrating from other places. That's the only reason that New Jersey didn't lose a House seat after the pandemic, when we had the census results a couple years ago. It's because people escaped Philadelphia and New York City, the only places where the governance is arguably crazier. But I have a lot of hope looking at these results here, Rich, because what we saw, and I never would have predicted this a few years ago, it's actually the younger voters, the 18 to 35 class, that are going heavily now for Donald Trump and Republicans that emulate Donald Trump's vision and his messaging. That's true regardless of whether we're talking about white voters, Hispanic voters, black voters. So I think if you look at a town like Evesham or Moorestown or any of these others that you're referencing in Burlington County, it's kind of the aging hipsters that are clinging to their bad religion. The younger voters, they can't buy a house. They are getting crushed by student loans. Even the ones that got a few thousand bucks forgiven are still saddled with these ridiculous monthly payments because they were told, hey, if you go get a degree in Eastern handpan music, you're going to be able to do something with it. Sorry, kids. It was a lie. And I think they're beginning to realize that, you know what? Everything that we've been told needs to be questioned. So after all this time of being told Republicans have a demographic problem, suddenly we have the growth groups. And that gives me hope, even in places like Burlington County, that we may be turning a corner.
I hope so. And the other part of it, too, with New Jersey, which is interesting, and for people that don't know, we have an election literally every year in New Jersey. So our governor's race is next year in 2025.
Yeah.
It'll be New Jersey and Virginia with the governor's race. It never ends for political consultants in New Jersey. The fact that Trump did so well and the fact that New Jersey has elected Republican governors in the past gives hope that a Republican could win in 2025, no doubt about that. Two thoughts before I ask you about that race. Number one is, how stupid, politically speaking, was Chris Christie to go after Trump in the manner in which he did? When you look at the results of New Jersey and how well Donald Trump performed in the state that elected Chris Christie governor twice.
It's like guy glitched or something, because he used to have peerless political instincts. And I don't know what happened. I mean, I can make an educated guess, Rich. I know you know him. I know him, even though I don't get Christmas cards from the Christies anymore. He is a very arrogant man, and he has a tremendous temper. And I think that he just can't get over how butthurt he is about having gotten cut out of the Trump administration and that he's no longer the center of attention. This is someone whose entire life is predicated on, and his self-worth is predicated on, whether he's getting carted around with his tremendous size posterior in a limousine with tinted windows. That's how he believes he's succeeding. That's what he wants out of life. And I really, it's, you know, you say stupid, that implies there's some kind of thought process here. He's just a very bitter man. And I haven't been a fan of his for a long time. You know that. But I'm starting to feel a little sorry for him, because he had so much potential. We should have been talking about a two-term Christie administration. Had he run against Barack Obama in 2012, I think he would have beaten him.
Yeah.
And now he's not even an historical asterisk at this point.
Now, so we're looking at 2025 for governor. How much of an influence is Trump going to have in that race, you think?
Oh, I mean, if he endorses in that race, that may very well be it. He's the only one. I mean, if you want to, it's a great bridge from your Christie question, obviously. That's why you asked it. That's why you're good at what you do, Mr. Zioli.
Hey, I try that, Rooney. I try.
Yeah, you're getting there, kid. Don't worry about it. You're on your way. But DeSantis is tutelage, I think.
By the way, before I ask you that, I know that Justin, who's our associate producer, produces your show now on Sunday nights. How's he doing?
Job. The talent that we have at this station, and I know the listeners are not going to disagree with this, it's an embarrassment of riches. You know, some of them, you know, like Dez, who does my show, you know, Daniel Valdez, I know your listeners know him. He can be a little mouthy, a little pushy when it comes to what music gets played, you know, so sometimes you got to put him in his place.
Yep.
But for, you know, overall, you know, I've got no complaints, even about DeSantis.
We have a lot of complaints about DeSantis, but we'll leave that for another time, because we just, you know, don't have a lot of it.
It's not coming from me. I don't feel the need to pile on.
Well, I'm glad Justin's doing a good job for you. If he gets out of line, just, you know, you smack him around, it'd be fine. It'd be all right. You know what I mean?
I would never.
What HR doesn't know can't hurt them. It might hurt Justin, but.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So the 2025 governor's race, if Trump gets involved, and I guess the question is, does it help? I mean, they always say in politics, don't endorse down. And, you know, I mean, obviously all the candidates are trying to align themselves with him. So what's your prediction? Does he get involved in this race, or does he just kind of stay out of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know better than anybody, trying to predict what Donald Trump does. It's like waking up in March in New Jersey and trying to decide whether it's going to feel like summer or midwinter. It's completely unpredictable. So I don't know at this point. The way the Trump world works is he has this close court of courtiers that he trusts. And in New Jersey, you've got, you know, for example, Bill Stepien, who is the White House political director's campaign manager. You have Kellyanne Conway. Don't have to explain who she is. Everybody knows that's listening. Kellyanne Conway is involved with a pro Chitterelli PAC. On the other side, Bill Stepien, he is the GC, the general consultant for Bill Spadia, a host on another station who has announced that he's running for governor. So they're going to be fiercely competing, I would imagine, to try to get Donald Trump in this race. He kind of stopped just short of endorsing Spadia back before that Wildwood rally. But again, Jack Chitterelli has a pretty warm relationship with plenty in Trump world. So which way he's going to go, whether he's even going to get involved, it's hard to say. The only thing we can say with certainty is if he does get in, I don't think the Trump honeymoon with the base is going to be over in just a few months' time. It's an accelerated calendar because the convention season is going to start for the counties that endorse, and then our primary is in June. It's not as late as it is in some other states. So, you know, look, stay tuned. If you are a political junkie and in any way you feel sorry because the presidential campaign is over, you have the consolation of having the Zioli show, the Rooney show, all these shows at 12:10, they're going to be all over it.
And then last thing, Matt Rooney, SaveJersey.com and the Matt Rooney Show every Sunday night right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. And a guy who does a great job filling in for me when I'm off, which is a lot. The other question is Jeff Van Drew. I mean, he crushed it. Landslide victory. Jeff Van Drew was a Democrat at one point. In 2020, he flips to Republican. Trump comes down and does a huge rally for him in Wildwood right before the world ends. We were down there at Mulligan's Shore Bar. We did a live show. It was a big deal. Van Drew has been outstanding on fighting these windmills, the wind turbines, the offshore wind, which is, you know, something Trump has said he's going to kill on day one, thank God, and save the whales and save the dolphins. Does Jeff Van Drew, if the Republicans keep the House, which I think they're going to, does he stay in Congress or does he go into the Trump administration? Because he, at this point, he can get whatever he wants, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot imagine that President Trump would not want to have Jeff Van Drew around him, whether that's a cabinet position or something analogous. I think we're already seeing, and this is one of the most hopeful signs for those of us that support Trump and this MAGA movement, is that President Trump, despite his age, he's still capable of learning because he's an intelligent man and he's a shrewd operator. I think he gets that the core mistake he made in his first term was not surrounding himself with people that he could trust
100%.
And were genuinely committed to the movement that he was pursuing. Yeah, I mean, you're getting those vibes. We're hearing it and seeing it already. So, I mean, look, I really think it comes down to whether or not the Republicans keep the House, whether or not there's an opportunity for Jeff Van Drew. But if Republicans do indeed hit that magic number and they can afford to lose him, it's going to be a heck of a loss in the House. I mean, I find it hard to believe that there at least wouldn't be an offer. Whether he wants to take it, I don't know. I mean, it's a heck of a thing to give up living in Cape May County. I know many of our mutual friends would agree with that.
Well, not only that, but he could be a chairman of a committee, too, at this point, if the Republicans keep the House.
Right. And we may need him, because could you imagine a better quarterback for President Trump's agenda? There's all indications that they're going to try to move very quickly here with some of the core items that he talked about on the campaign trail. And you're going to need a guy like Jeff Van Drew that you can trust in that chamber, who's not going to be back down and is also respected in all quarters of the Republican Party. So, I mean, I will tell you, as a Jeff Van Drew supporter, I would have mixed emotions about it. I'd love to see him in charge of one of the federal departments, but he's a bulldog in Congress.
Yeah, no, he's great. He really is. He's one of the absolute best, no question about it. All right, tune in Sunday night to the Matt Rooney Show. Do you want to give us a preview of what you got coming up?
We're still working on it because the changing news happens every day now, right? I mean, we just got a race call when we came on tonight with a Senate call. So you know how it works. For those of you that want to know how the sausage works, I've got about 6 text message threads going right now with some people that won, right, this past week. And some other people were waiting to find out how they do. So when you have a Sunday show, by Saturday morning, it'll all get decided, and I'll tweet it out, and then I'll text to Rich and say, hey, Rich, can you please retweet it? Help me out, because you're this massive radio star.
I'm always happy to help you anytime. And follow Matt Rooney on Twitter and SaveJersey.com and tune in Sunday night. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir. See ya.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, and I could go on for an hour talking Jersey politics with Rooney, but obviously we got a lot of other things to get to as well. And if the breaking news in Pennsylvania, if you're just joining us, Dave McCormick officially has won the race for U.S. Senate. I knew he did yesterday morning, but it's official now. He is Senator-elect Dave McCormick. It's a huge, huge deal, and we're very, very proud of him, very happy for him, absolutely. Jeanette is in Montgomery County. Hello, Jeanette.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm Jeanette.
Yes, Jeanette. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to tell you I like your program very much. It's a very fine program, and I enjoy listening to it almost every day, despite the fact that I'm an independent. But I just wanted to share something very, very small with you. I have several grandchildren who are in high school, and yesterday it was kind of sad, because many of the girls decided they have to leave school. They couldn't stand the uproar behavior of the boys. They were just so up in arms that Trump won. That's wonderful. However, they were all crying. And
they were all crying.
I think that, you know, they were all crying. And very frankly, as you know, the reproductive issues and the women's health care is an issue. It may not be as important an issue as the economy and immigration, but nevertheless, it is an issue. And I do hope that our future president will address this and remember that
he's already addressed it. He said this is going to be left up to the states. He's not doing a national abortion ban. It's going to be left up to the states. So he's already addressed it.
Right. Well, I hope that does happen.
I hope it's happening. I mean, thank you so much for having me on.
And I'll continue to listen.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Jeanette.
Sure.
Have a wonderful day. I think the reality is that the Democrats wanted to codify Roe, and Trump has already said we're leaving this to the states, which is where it belongs. I mean, this is not an issue in the federal constitution. So leave it to the states and fight it out on the state level. That's the thing. You know, issues like this are best dealt with where government is closest to the people, and that is the states. And that's the way the founders intended it. That's the way that our system of government works. We are a constitutional republic, and the federal government's powers are supposed to be limited. So, you know, and there are people on my side of the issue who are pro-life who disagree with me on that point. They think that the government has an obligation to preserve life, and there should be a national abortion ban. But that's an interpretation of life that the Constitution, again, unless it's literally in there, I think if you want to be a strict constructionist, which I am, you have to say it's not a power of the federal government to get involved with. I mean, that, you know, you can interpret the meaning of things, life, liberty, but strict constructionism requires that you deal with what's in the Constitution, not something you interpret, because that's what the left does. The left interprets things that aren't there, privacy and other things like that. They interpret. If you start interpreting, then you go down that road and, you know. So I think that Trump did the right move on that, and it's part of the reason why he wanted a massive landslide. It's an issue that will be left to the states. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to cry. like Claire McCaskill, the former senator, MSNBC contributor, who shed tears. Matt DeSantis, did she cry more than Jimmy Kimmel or less than Jimmy Kimmel? Do you know the answer to that?
It might be more. It's close. It's very close. There were a lot of tears. I'll leave it at that.
A lot of tears. All right. Well, let's hear Senator Claire McCaskill here, cut number 9.
I mean, in that mission and that purpose, Claire McCaskill will determine. You okay?
I think I'm okay.
Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to where she was.
Beklempt.
As a woman, getting elected DA, it's not easy, guys. People don't trust women to be in charge of making decisions about life and death and crime and being, frankly, a supervisor in some ways over police.
She was a senator.
Her
right?
fighting through the primary yes. thicket of California politics to become attorney general. Really hard. I mean, this is really hard stuff.
That's what Willie Brown said.
For her to be selected as vice president after
really
what
hard.
I think she would tell you was a very disappointing presidential race, where I think she kind of lost her footing and was listening too much to consultants, frankly, and didn't really exude who she was. And then to be vice president and to step into the most difficult situation in the world, where she had to be completely loyal to Joe Biden and respectful of the fact that he had chosen her, but yet maneuver in a situation. I mean, such political.
Right, you know, this is too long. This is too long. Let's go to Jimmy Kimmel crying. I think that's better crying, actually. Here we go. Let's do Jimmy Kimmel, who's not funny, but this is actually the funniest thing he's ever done, which is to cry on the show. Cut 12.
Let's be honest. It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for health care, for our climate, for science, for journalism, for justice, for free speech. It was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors who rely on Social Security, for our allies in Ukraine.
for NATO, for the truth.
Man, I'll tell you what, these guys have no clue. These friggin' elites have no clue. Donald Trump crushed it with working class voters, crushed it with Latino voters. 20% in the city of Philadelphia, crushed it with Latino voters nationwide. I'm going to get into some more details with that in the 6 o'clock hour. I have some numbers I want to break down for you. But the bottom line is this. Working class people, they're with them. Elites like Jimmy Kimmel, they're not. And Jimmy Kimmel doesn't have to worry about the price of butter. Oh, you know who doesn't either? Joe Scarborough. He doesn't even know how much butter costs. This is exactly what I mean about how out of touch these friggin' people are. Joe Scarborough this morning on Morning Joe had no idea the price of groceries and how expensive they are. This is exactly what I'm talking about. They have no clue. Take a listen to this.
I want to talk about economy for a second. A few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, somebody who was going to be voting for Kamala Harris came up to me and said, oh, my God, Trump's going to win. I go, why is that? He goes, I went to the grocery store. Butter's over $3. I kind of laughed and I said, well, that's kind of reductive, isn't it? Said it to myself. To him, I smiled and I said, good point. Mm-hmm. But it actually, what $7. Everything we're hearing after the election is.
I'm just saying, is, the seven.
What's that?
The $7.
What's that? Butter is $7?
Yeah.
What? Is it framed in gold?
Yeah, you're working
okay.
Butter.
Anyway.
Where you go. But.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, seven well, bucks. Anyway.
Boy, those two hate each other.
This, Willie.
Can I just jump in here for, those two are married? They hate each other. They hate each other. That's very obvious in that clip. That is a cold it's a cold marriage right there.
Are they officially married? I thought they were just like.
No, I think they are. Officially. Oh. I think they are. It's $7. $7? Wow. Oof, man. All right, let's play another Trump promo, shall we? You have another one for me? Did you find it or no?
I'm working on it now. You sent me on a wild goose chase. So the clip where Trump says, thank you for being with me from the beginning, was not from April. It was actually from 2019. And if it wasn't for Kevin Pulse, I would have never found it. I'm working
Seriously?
On it now, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Kevin Pulse for the win.
Saved us, yeah.
Wow. Oh, is that from the interview in the Oval?
I believe so, yes.
When Dawn Sensland stole my silver platter?
Yes.
Okay.
38 minutes to comb through here. I'll find it, though.
But they made a promo out of it.
I don't know if we have a promo from 2019.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. I get it. I understand. All right. Let me take a quick call before we go to break. Let me find. Let's see. Where's my call screen? I should probably grab that. How's the YouTube chat going, too? I haven't been able to monitor it today. You can eat butter. You can't eat gold. That's good. Good line. We got a lot of people watching, too. Thank you for tuning into our YouTube stream. I just want to remind you, Wednesday night with Jimmy Fallon live together. We're going to be together in Media PA. Why is it such a close up on my face? It must be this new camera that I got. But boy, that's really. Can you zoom out of that, Sean? That's really zoomed in.
Sean's not here. That's a you thing. I think your camera.
No, I know it's a me thing. Yeah, it's a new camera. It's got this voice. It's got like hand motion that zooms in and out. And of course, the way I use my hands, it keeps zooming in. You see what I mean? Because I'm talking with my hands, like an Italian. So now it's zooming in on my fat face. All right, I got to figure that out. It's a new camera. I like the camera, though. Oh, you think we have it, DeSantis?
I believe Frank somehow found it.
Oh, this is huge. All right, but let me take a quick call before I do that. Let's go to Lori and Ringo's. Lori, how you doing?
Hi, Rich. Not all the girls were crying yesterday. I wanted to share what my kids did because this was the first time that all three of my kids were of age to vote in the presidential election. So I have twins that were 21. It was their first time. And then I have a 23-year-old in medical school. And I kind of knew what she was going to do because this was her second presidential campaign. And she had, so she shared that she was going to vote for Trump, and she did. So the girl twin, my twins had to do mail-in ballots because they're away at school. So the one came home because she lives in Philly, and I wasn't going to have the mail-in ballot sent there. So she came home. She didn't tell me when she cast her vote in October.
what she did. She did. I'm like,
I got 30 seconds, Lori. So go ahead. Tell me what they did.
Basically, my daughter, thank God, she does not like Trump's personality. Trump himself said, "You don't have to like me. But you can look at my policies." She said, my daughter said, Kamala was going to make a mess of everything, and there's no way she could vote for her, and she voted for Trump. And I walked her ballot into it. And then my son, he wasn't happy with the debate with Kamala, and he's like, I live in New Jersey. It's not going to make a difference. I said, it makes a difference in the popular vote. So he sent his vote in from out of Penn State. So I'm 3 for 3. I've done my job. My life is complete.
Congratulations. Well done. Good work, Lori. Good work. Thank you
for
the call.
Thanks, Rich.
I appreciate it. You're welcome. All right. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. Got to take a quick break here, but we're coming right back. Don't you worry. And tune in on our YouTube stream and get your tickets now at 1210 WPHT for our show with Jimmy Failla coming up Wednesday night in media. It will sell out 1210WPHT.com before it does sell out. And I'll see you Wednesday night at the Media Theater in Media PA. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is a wonderful place to stay. If you are thinking about a getaway, there's no place better to go, especially this time of year, because Cape May is beautiful. But from now until the end of the year, you have your very own promo code to use, Zioli, save 25%. And Cape May in Christmas time is absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. You will love the weather there 100%. There is something special about the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Everything from Hemingway's restaurant with delicious food and drinks to the people who make sure that everybody's happy. And they have their Grand Escape weekends, very special packages if you want to do a romantic weekend. Can get away. And think about Thanksgiving break. You will love an ocean holiday Thanksgiving and let Hemingway's restaurant do the cooking and cleaning, and you just enjoy yourself and enjoy all the fun of the hotel. You will not be disappointed. Book online with them for the best rates and book your stay today by calling 800-257-8550. And from September 29th through December 21st, book a fabulous fall midweek stay. And when you stay multiple nights, you're going to receive resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's restaurant for food and drink or at the gift shop. GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Great music today, Justin. Well done.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to our buddy EJ Stokes. National Parker 5. He's author of a book called The Obama Years, Just the Facts. He's a great friend of the show. In fact, his Twitter profile picture, the banner picture, is me and President Trump in the Oval Office together. EJ's been a great friend. He comes to our Cape May shows. And happy birthday, buddy. So thank you for being a great friend of the show. We appreciate it. And as part of your birthday present, Dave McCormick is now officially Senator Dave McCormick, which is a huge win. They have finally called that race, and that's great. And we found the other promo. Great job by Frank Canale. He's the man. Frank Canale. He is the man. So you want to hear the promo? This is from 2019, and I guess they buried it because of, Trump wasn't president anymore. But now that he's president again, we might as well dust it off and put it back in the rotation. What do you think?
Might as well.
Might as well, right? All right, take a listen.
Rich Cioli's historic, exclusive sit-down conversation with President Trump in the Oval Office.
You've been with me from the beginning, and I will never forget it.
Mr. President, it's my honor, sir. Thank you so much.
One-on-one on a variety of topics.
USMCA is something that should be approved immediately. If Nancy Pelosi's going to blow one of the greatest deals ever made.
Rich Cioli, Donald Trump.
Pennsylvania's had the best year they've ever had.
That's a good one. I like that. But yeah, that's good. But the new one, though, the new one that Frank made is outstanding. Should we play it one more time? Why not beat this to death, right?
Sure.
Why not? Just let's beat it to death. We're still doing our victory march. We're still doing our victory. Why not? What the heck? He called one show on election night ours. One show. Which is not about me. It's about the Cioli Army. He knows the power of the audience. That's what it comes down to. It's not me, Matt DeSantis. It's certainly not you. It's the Cioli Army. That's what this is about. It's about them, not me. You know what I mean?
Well, all right. They showed up.
They did show up. All right, here's the other promo. Go ahead.
Rich Cioli. Rich Cioli.
President Donald Trump, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Your show is great. I've listened to your show many times.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Many times. You have a hell of an audience, by the way.
We got you, Mr. President. We got your back. People are excited to vote for you. And
if we win Pennsylvania, we win everything.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.
RFK Jr. tells MSNBC he intends to clear out entire departments of the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. He spoke with Vaughn Hilliard of NBC News. It got a little heated at times, actually, even over the fluoride stuff. Cut number two.
You say clearing out the corruption in your terms. Would that mean clearing out the top-level federal service workers that are currently at the FDA and the CDC?
In some categories, I would say.
What does that look like? Yeah.
In some categories of workers, there are entire departments, like the nutrition departments at FDA, that have to go. That are not doing their job. They're not protecting our kids. Why do we have Fruit Loops in this country that have 18 or 19 ingredients, and you go to Canada and it's got two or three?
Would you eliminate any of the agencies?
To eliminate the agencies, as long as it requires congressional approval, I wouldn't be doing that. I can get the corruption out of the agencies. This is what I've been doing for 40 years. I've sued all those agencies. I have a PhD in corporate corruption, and that's what I do. And once they're not corrupt, once Americans are getting good science and are allowed to make their own choices, they're going to get a lot healthier.
That's good. That's good. I like that. And he said, I'm not going to take away anybody's vaccines. Cut number three.
I'm not going to take away anybody's vaccines. I've never been anti-vaccine.
You will not take any vaccine that is currently on the market.
If vaccines are working for somebody, I'm not going to take them away. Whatever we were doing in this country was the worst of every country in the world.
So in order to...
He was talking about COVID, for the record, by the way, and he said his children were vaccinated, too. And then he talked about fluoride, which, you know, Dr. Marty Makary in his new book, Blind Spots, has a whole chapter about things, rethinking things. And one of those things is rethinking fluoride in the water because of new research about children's IQs. And you get fluoride in lots of different ways. You know, it's in toothpaste. You can mouthwash because you don't ingest those things. You spit it out. Fluoride treatments like at Dr. Mike Venaria's office, for example. So the question really is do you need to drink it? You know, if you're brushing your teeth, if you're using fluoride rinse, if you're doing all those things, do you need to ingest it is the question. Because, you know, you're not supposed to swallow toothpaste, for example, and you're not supposed to swallow mouthwash. It clearly says those things on the labels. Like, don't, you know, and we were like for teaching Reagan how to brush your teeth. And look, we use fluoride in our toothpaste. But I think there's a real question about whether or not it should be put into the public water systems. I think it's worth reexamining this. It's been since the 1950s or so. And as data changes, you should make changes to it. But he's also not going to mandate this. He wants to advise public water systems about this and then let people make decisions around it, which, again, I think is good. Cut number four.
You've also talked about fluoride in the U.S. water supply. You would seek to ban fluoride in the U.S. water supply?
Well, I would advise the water districts that are currently using it that there's a lot of new science out there. In fact, There's a federal judge decision by an Obama-appointed judge on October 4th of this year, in which he sent EPA back to the drawing board and said, you've never done the safety studies on this, and by the way.
And so what does that look like? Without debating, without knowing, without going back and forth on the science.
By the way, it's lowering IQ in our children.
What would you, on January 2025, we're 3 months away here, what would you actually do in your position
outside of the White House? I think fluoride is on its way out.
And how do you make that happen? This is your chance, is what you're suggesting to me. How would you make that happen?
Well, listen to what I'm saying, okay, and then I'll tell you.
Okay.
I think fluoride is on the way out because of that court decision. I think the faster that it goes out, the better. I'm not going to compel anybody to take it out, but I'm going to advise the water districts about their legal liability, their legal obligation to their service zones and to their constituents. And I'm going to give them good information about the science, and I think that fluoride will disappear.
Justin, thank you for the breaking news. The Trump team has just announced that Susie Wiles will be the White House chief of staff, Florida power broker. She is credited with being the Trump whisperer this cycle. She's 67 years old, and she will be the White House chief of staff. So we'll talk more about that. But that's a great choice. I'm not surprised. Susie Wiles and Chris LaCivita ran a great campaign, and I think Trump does he works well with women in that capacity. But it's also interesting, right after that jackass Mark Cuban said Trump is afraid of strong, intelligent women, and his chief of staff now is going to be a strong, intelligent woman. Just saying, you know. I also imagine Caroline Leavitt will be the White House press secretary, and I've joked about always wanting that job and dream job. But I think it would be very smart to put Caroline in there. She's terrific. She's a fighter. She's great. She's quick on her feet. She's really lovely as a person and treats people with kindness and respect. But she's a fighter, and that's what you need in that job. And she's smart. So I hope she gets the job. I'm rooting for her big time. I'm very happy where I am, in case you're wondering. Very happy where I am. But that changes by the day, just so you know that. Judge in Trump's New York criminal case considering tossing his felony convictions. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And join him this Saturday for his Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding event at his office in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. From 9 to 12, VeneriaDental.com. Come out and see them and celebrate the veterans and bring your documents that need shredding. This is the New York judge who's overseeing Donald Trump's case. According to CNN, they may be tossing the felony convictions, which they should do. Cut number 7.
In just 20 days, the president-elect is due to be sentenced for those 34 felonies he was convicted of in the New York hush money cover-up case. You have some new reporting on that.
That's right. I'm told that his legal team is going to try to make sure that sentencing never happens. As we know, their usual strategy is always to just try to get things delayed. But here, they're going to argue to the judge that the sentencing should never happen because now that Trump is president-elect, they will say that he is entitled to the same constitutional protections as a sitting president and should be protected from state actors, and in this case, state prosecutors. Now, the judge overseeing that case, Judge Juan Merchan, he's given himself a deadline of November 12th to decide if the conviction against Trump should be tossed. Based on the Supreme Court's recent ruling on immunity, if he tosses the conviction, there'll be no sentencing. But if that sentencing continues to go forward, this is the argument that the Trump team is going to make.
Now, I noticed a couple stories today in my in Evernote, Matt DeSantis. One of them is a bad op-ed entitled, "We Can Fight Later. Now is the Time to Mourn."
Michelle
from the
Goldberg.
New York Times.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Now is the time to mourn. Oh, you're saying now Marco Rubio is being mentioned as Secretary of State?
Yeah, so I figured since it looks like the Wall Street Journal's projection for the Chief of Staff was correct, it might be worth mentioning some of the other projections that they had listed today.
Yeah.
So the only person they had listed that was being considered for Secretary of State is Marco Rubio. I saw a bunch of other outlets reporting the same thing, so he seems to be the front runner there.
Mm-hmm.
Then for Treasury Secretary, you've got Scott Bessent, who I believe is the founder of Key Square Group. The other is John Paulson, and he's a billionaire investor. We got Secretary of Defense. The only person they listed, actually, there was a couple they listed. It was Mike Pompeo, Tom Cotton, and Mike Walls, a friend of the show. Walls was also the only person mentioned for director of national intelligence, so it looks like he'll get something. Attorney General, I thought was interesting because Mike Lee was on the short list.
That would be phenomenal.
Tom Cotton also on the short list there. Another friend of the show on the list here. This is for Commerce Secretary, and that would be Linda McMahon. Mm. Kelly Loeffler's also listed there, as well as Vivek Ramaswamy. And then Press Secretary, the only person they had listed was Caroline Leavitt.
Good.
So those are the projections right now, according to the Wall Street Journal, and they're one for one so far.
Well, I would say this. If Marco Rubio gets a cabinet position, which is most likely what's going to happen, that opens up his seat for the U.S. Senate. Florida's a red state, and so it's a safe seat, so you don't have to worry about it going to a Democrat. And then that opens up the question of who takes the seat. And another friend of the show, of course, Kat Kamick, I'm sure would be very interested in that, as would another friend of the show, Byron Donalds, would also be very interested in that potentially as well. Although, I think Byron Donalds is probably going to run for governor of Florida. So what could happen if Marco Rubio winds up going to Washington and Mike Waltz goes to Washington is Kat Kamick runs for U.S. Senate, maybe unopposed. And I think in Florida, if I'm not mistaken, the governor would appoint and then you run, if that's how that's correct, Matt.
I'm not entirely sure. Let me check that right now.
And then Byron Donalds would run for governor of Florida, and I think he'd be a shoo-in for that, and he'd be outstanding as governor of Florida. So that's how that could shake out, which could be really, really interesting. Kat Kamick is wonderful. I love her. I mean, she's one of my favorite people, even though she stole my joke about DEI hard. And not only that, but she stole my joke, didn't give me credit for it, but mocked the joke when we were on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. So she mocked the joke after the show, and then proceeded to use my joke.
Also, don't forget, she came onto your own show to tell you that your joke was terrible, and then conceded at the end of the interview that she, in fact, used it herself.
Right. It's like a double whammy. I mean, this is war. I'm going to text her right now and just remind her how pissed I am at her. In fact, if she runs for Senate, I'm going to work against her. Just kidding. I don't want that to be like a thing that I'm just kidding. Don't write anything about it. It's just a joke. I love Kat Kamick. I'm joking. But that'd be very interesting and that'd be fun. So we'll see how that shakes out. There's going to be a lot of movement, obviously, on things. Any word on what Tulsi would get? Have they said anything about that?
No, they didn't have her listed under any of the big ticket items.
All right. And of course, we have our buddy Victoria Coates. So we are going to be losing. What's that?
I was going to say RFK Jr. is going to end up doing something in the administration as well, but they didn't have any projections.
He'd probably be the head of the FDA, I would imagine, right?
I think he's probably got a good shot.
Yeah.
Elon, you know, is going to be involved somehow.
Well, he's going to head the government restoration office, right? To slash government, whatever they call it.
It would be great. Slash away.
Slash away. Slash, slash, slash. I mean, he's talking about cutting 80% of the federal government. That'd be amazing.
$2 trillion.
Oh, my God. It'd be amazing. And, you know, since Trump is a lame duck in the sense that he's term limited here, he can do whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't have to worry about it. So, I mean, get rid of the Department of Education. Just go in there and just get rid of things. Get rid of the EPA. Get rid of all. You know, just cut stuff and merge departments. And do we need the Energy Department, Interior, Agriculture, EPA? There's too much government. And Homeland Security, I mean, you could break that up in too many federal agencies. And in Florida, I believe you finish the term. So then that would mean the governor would appoint you, and then you would then run for the seat probably in the next subsequent general election, I would think. But I would imagine Kat's got a great chance for that, great shot at that. Or maybe DeSantis appoints a placeholder, and then, you know, she runs for it. Either way, I think that's how that would play out. Okay, and then, of course, you have a lot of celebrities who are leaving. We have a whole list of them who are leaving the country. Cher, leaving the country. You know, and I'm sad about that because, you know, she blocked me on Twitter, so I can't see her tweets. I don't know if she's actually booked a ticket yet or if she's on her way. Do we know? Do we have a Cher tracker?
I have a feeling that she's not going anywhere, unfortunately.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
That's something. Sharon Stone, she said she's leaving, too. She's considering a house in Italy, she said. Has she bought any? No? All right. Well, we'll talk more about that in the 6 o'clock hour, and I want to get dig into these results with you, how well Trump did in Philadelphia and with the Latinos. Big fourth and final hour coming up. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com